time it is. It's time to get outdoors.
Welcome to Shank Outdoors. I'm your host, Sky. Are you looking for those DIY projects from overlanding, hiking, to fishing, or just a good old conversation? Then you have found the right podcast. Welcome to another episode of Shank Outdoors. So a couple weeks ago, it was my birthday, and I didn't get anything to do with a DIY project this time, but I did get a super cool tool that I was excited to start using, and I've been using it a couple times now, and I'm very happy we picked it up. I wish I would have picked one of these up a long time ago. Didn't really think, I guess, I needed one, but it's the way to go when you're ice fishing. It just makes total sense. The ease of it, it's lightweight. We are talking about the Ion R1 10-inch auger. This thing, some people look at the price tag and go, I can't spend that much on an auger. But at the end of the day, now, the Generation 2 model, the G2 or whatever it's called, yes, that is highly, highly priced. That's not the one I got. I got the R1. This is the second or third year it's been out. And so it was on sale. It's still pricier than your average. Oh my God, excuse me. It is pricier than your average gasoline two-stroke auger. But you're not fighting with starting the machine. You're not having to deal with fuel. And it's not... Now, the gas auger's twice the weight of the electric auger. So, let alone the price, just the ease of use. And, okay, let's just restart. So, the Ion R1 is an electric auger that has a 5 amp hour battery, 40 volt. It is supposed to... And I say supposed to because I have not yet tested this, and I definitely plan to, so hold me to it, is it should be able to drill 640 inches of ice off of one battery charge. That's right, 640 inches of ice. Do you even know how many holes that is off of one battery use? Like, if we get down to 6 inches... of ice, that's 100 holes right there. So 12 inch of ice, that's 50 holes. You know, we were drilling, what was it, 20? We were at between the couple lakes that we've been to now with the auger. We've drilled between 19 and I think 22 or 23 inches of ice. We have not drilled 50 or 100, we've drilled maybe 10 or so holes so far. So we could call it a break-in period if you wanted to. I haven't set up to, I was more enjoying getting out and ice fishing with the family. Took my 5-year-old out twice now, and he's loving it, which makes me even more happy. We're actually going to start as more DIY projects together towards ice fishing and just going out. Like, he was so excited on being out on the ice and seeing his first pike. He actually ended up seeing a pike twice now. Nothing else, but that's okay. It was just him being able to look down the hole and seeing this fish swim underneath him. And if you haven't been ice fishing, you got to go. Because that, even just as an adult, like, seeing that fish that you're about to catch is just a totally different ball game versus fishing off the boat, and you don't know if you're close to one or not until you snag it on your line. Whereas ice fishing, you can see, depending your setup, you either waiting for it to come to your hole and then you see it, or you maybe have a camera down the way so you can see them sneaking up to your line, and then now you look down your hole and you can see it. And that's the other reason why I went with a 10 inch is so that it's a bigger hole to look down, and then if you get one of those monsters, a lot easier to get through. But at the same time, it has its downfalls, and that's dropping things through the ice hole. Yes, I've already done it this year again. I haven't done it in many years. You know, the last time I dropped something down the hole, we were still living in British Columbia. We were fishing in about 11 feet, 12 feet of water. We were only using a small 6-inch auger. It was a hand auger at the time, but we still getting out, loving the sport. And I at the time I had my iPhone 7 in a wallet flip case, so it held my driver's license, credit cards, all that. And I grab it out of my pocket. It flips open as I'm, if you can just picture my hand coming out of my chest pocket. And as I put my palm to the sky to look at the phone, the case ends up opening automatically and just totally falls out of my hand. And where does it fall? Straight down the hole. And I went as fast as I could to go reach down the hole and grab it. And if it wasn't for my fingers pushing the phone down farther instead of grabbing it, I would have had the phone. And we literally spent, it had to have been two and a half hours, maybe even three, but it was a couple hours because I know the wife was wondering why she couldn't get a hold of me, why we were late. And instead of trying to get a going down the road a bit and getting a hold of them, letting know that I dropped my phone, we just were concentrated on getting the phone back. And yes, we stayed until we got the phone back, and we did. People, it's hard to believe, but we did get the phone back from dropping it down 11 feet into the lake. The water's crystal clear. You got a sandy bottom. And the only reason that we could see it and find it was because of the credit cards and the driver's license. With the white driver's license and the different colored credit cards, I was able to then see it from the difference of the dark soil to the dark phone case. So how I ended up actually getting that out was using the ice scoop attached to a tree branch, or a tree actually, a small tree, and we were putting it down the hole, slightly scooping it up, and just slowly coming up. But because it was the 6-inch hole, the issue was being is that once it got to the bottom of the ice, the pressure and the water movement then lifted the phone off the ice scoop, and literally all you would see is this phone feather back and forth until it hit the bottom of the lake again. And eventually it ended up actually scooting off to one side at one point. And so we ended up having to chase it with drilling a couple more holes till we landed above it. And that was frustrating, but we finally figured out that we got a long enough tree. We stuck it down the hole, put the shack, the portable shack over top of us again, so we could actually see down the hole. Cause if you don't have something over you and it's dark and making a dark area, you can't see down the ice. The light from the sun makes the water dark. So we now can see the hole. Once I'm lifting the scoop up with the tree branch, just before I hit the top of the roof, we get another branch to hold against the phone and the ice scoop. Holding those two together, my buddy Clinton lifts off the ice shack, and then he helps me slowly pull this ice scoop out with the phone attached. and we got it out. Now, this is when iPhone first released the water resistance feature of their phones. And with the phone being underwater for that few hours at that depth, I didn't think it was going to last. But you know what? Throwing that onto the dash of the truck and letting it warm up and dry while we were heading back to town, didn't have any issues with that phone until, unfortunately, one of my coworkers accidentally ran it over. So I've had more bad luck with phones being run over through work because I'm helping doing something, have it in a stupid place in my pocket, falls out, and don't realize it's out until I'm looking for it and then find it in the parking lot or wherever and it's ran over. So I've had more phones run over damaged than dropping in a lake and losing it forever. Where a lot of time you hear something being dropped down a fishing hole, you just picture something gone. But not in my case. I have saved that phone with my wallet, driver's license, credit cards, debit card. This year, 2022, I dropped my pliers, my little pliers for dealing with hooks and fishing line. And it was on my lap and I'm setting up my son's fishing rod, switching him some lures and from one lure to the next. And all I hear is bloop. And I look down and I see these red little pliers. Like it's not just pliers. It's your multi-tool set. It's like a Leatherman, but different brand and tinier, down to the bottom of the lake. Now, we were 7-8 feet down at this point. Nowhere close to any trees like we were back in BC, because we were at a smaller lake. This lake is a lot larger. Would have had to walk a ways just to get to, unfortunately, it would have been somebody's yard because of where we were. All the lake houses up against the shore of the lake. So I, because I've already done this, my father and my oldest were actually surprised. They didn't even hear me, you know, swearing, cussing, just, you know, even moving around, trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. I just had a plan in place and again, grabbed the ice scoop. And I'm using it to try and get the pliers. What do? I drop the ice scoop down the hole. Because it's a 10-inch hole, I'm trying to figure out. I went to go reach with, Yeah, I went and grabbed it. Then I set it down because I realized, oh, I'm not going to be able to reach it with my arm and the ice scoop. So I'm going to have to use something else. And I literally put it down. And I'm looking around and then I end up kicking it. This idiot put it down beside my own foot and I literally pushed it into the hole with my foot, not knowing that I was about to do that. So now I'm looking at my ice scoop, which is the savior to get the pliers out of the hole. And now I'm just shaking my head at myself. I got my 5-year-old beside me. He's giggling and bugging me that I've now dropped the ice scoop down the hole. Then it clicked. Well, what do I have with me? Well, I was recording, so I have, or planning to at least record some things, and I had my tripod with me. So I ended up actually taking off the GoPro, because I had one GoPro. Actually, the GoPro's already off. That's a lie. I had one GoPro with my father and my oldest in their shack. And then I had the other GoPro in our shack. Now, we were playing with the GoPro in the water before all this happened to get some footage. So I didn't bring my extra batteries out and the camera died because of the cold. So I couldn't even get any of this on video. So I took the tripod that didn't have any camera on it. And with the bolt that attaches the GoPro mount, I actually stretched out the tripod, took off my coat, put my, I even took off my sweater so my sleeves weren't getting wet, and reached down the hole all the way up to my shoulder, armpit area, and was able to just, like, if this ice scoop didn't have the hook on the end to be able to hang it, or what was the other reason they built that? Anyways, if it wasn't for the reason of that hook, I would have never been able to get it out. But because it had that hook on the end, I was able to use the bolt on the end of the tripod and just slightly grab it and then lift it straight out. And literally, boom, one try like that, I got the ice scoop back out. Now I'm figuring out, well, what am I going to do to get the pliers out? Looking around my coat, I've got the wrong coat on. Normally I have a coat with some electrical tape. Due to work, we use electric tape all the time, some cold weather tape that's good up to minus 30 or something like that. And so I was going to tape the ice scoop to the tripod to then grab the pliers. Can't do that. So then I saw the wrist loop that comes with the tripod to go around your wrist if you want to do a selfie stick or use it as a selfie stick. So I took that and used it as a string to tie the tripod around or to, like, where the hook is on the end of the ice scoop. I put the bolt there of the tripod and then tied that string tight around there. And luckily enough, it survived long enough to get the pliers out. I was able to finally, it took a bit to scoop the pliers up because I kept trying to scoop it and it was pushing away along the bottom of the lake. But as long as I turned it and just took my time, kind of doing almost like a figure eight motion at the bottom of the lake with the ice scoop, the pliers ended up sliding onto the scoop enough that I was able to pull straight up. And then I got daring, silly me, but I did it. I got daring enough to then pull out my cell phone to at least hit record of me slowly with one arm, hoping that the pliers don't fall off, pulling the ice scoop with the pliers on top, recording it out of the ice. And I successfully did it. I have the recording on my phone of one arm as far as I can stretch and the scoop coming out of the ice with the pliers on it. I am then moving all this stuff out of the ice shack, or towards the door of the ice shack. And then I hear movement from there, from the other ice shack. And my father and my oldest have decided that they're hungry and we should go back, as they weren't having any luck over there. They've already moved around holes and it was just time for them that they were done. And me and my youngest could stay, but we agreed that we should just go back. And they thought they were going to, at the same time, they thought they were going to have to help me in some way get the pliers out, because I sent them a photo of the pliers down at the bottom of the hole. And they couldn't believe that I already got it out within that few minutes of sending them a picture of these pliers down the hole. Then I'm explaining that I dropped the ice scoop at the same time. So that's back to the auger. That's the one downfall of having a 10-inch hole, is if you're not paying attention, you can easily drop anything down there because it's such a wide ice fishing hole. Back to the auger. The auger is a steel design. The flit is steel all the way down to the blades, which, with, even though that's all steel, the weight comparison of a gas operated auger is 40% less. So almost half the weight versus the gas operated auger. And you can, like, operating this auger is just so easy. You're literally grabbing it, setting it where you want to drill a hole, and hitting your safety button and your go. And it's starting to drill. And you're not even, I don't want to say that you're fighting with a gas auger, but it's pulling itself down into the ice. You're literally just holding it straight and stopping it from spinning on itself, like stopping the, because really you could move with it and then you're not drilling, right? So as long you're holding the auger straight and it's just doing its job. The other thing is it's so quiet. You're not hearing someone, you know, you could be a few hundred meters away and you might hear the scraping of the ice, but that's all you hear. You're not hearing the loud two-stroke engine drilling this ice. And then if you have the auger that's having troubles running, then you're hearing, you know, and then it's stalling and then they're firing it back up and then re-augering. Whereas this thing's just, and just drilling all the way through the ice. Then when you're done drilling your hole, you don't just keep going and pull back out. You hit reverse on this thing and it's going to shoot that slush down the hole and clear. You're not scooping or moving your auger in and out of the hole to clear out all that slush and have water everywhere. You're literally able to shoot that ice down, back down the hole. It disperses throughout the water, and because the water is slightly warmer, it's then melting and you have no ice in your hole. And if you do, you have a slight little bit that you're able to quickly scoop out and away you go. Then on top of that, again, you now have lights on these things. There's two LED lights, or is it two or four? We'll go with two. There's two LED lights on the bottom of this auger facing down, or underneath the motor of the auger, facing down, so that if you are in your ice shack, and that's also the reason why they have reverse, is you can then, you don't have to be wearing a headlamp, nothing. It blew me away the other weekend on how much light this auger gives off, so that you can see where you're drilling, the ice that's coming out of the hole, you know, how much you got, how much auger's left to go down into the ice. It's just, the design is very well done. It's lightweight, it's comfortable, and you grab and go. You just, oh, I'm done drilling a hole. Okay, put it over here, drill it into the ice, do some fishing for a bit. Oh, I'm going to move holes. You literally grab your auger, hit that button again, and you're drilling ice. You're not fighting with a two-stroke engine trying to start, especially in cold weather. Now, you do have to be careful with the battery. It is a battery just like any others that it will deplete in the cold. So if you're in minus 30, minus 20, maybe minus 10, haven't done this full test yet, but anything under minus 20, a battery is going to deplete over time. I don't know how much it's going to deplete, but it is just, keep yourself noted that if you are going to especially go ice fishing and you're going to stay overnight, don't keep your auger outside and hope to be able to drill tomorrow. Take that battery out and bring it into the warmth with you where you have a spot to put it, and keep it room temperature so that you can go put it back on in the morning the next day and keep drilling. Whereas if you keep that battery on that auger overnight, you may have a depleted battery, or you may have a significant less battery than you could have if you kept it warm. So that's one downfall. But for the ease of use, the quietness, how light this thing is, that just tops up over the worrying about the battery being warm. I have no worry about that. Like, this thing, you know, over Christmas, we were fighting with our two-stroke motor, auger. And it took 15, 20 minutes to get this thing running. Then we put it on the sled, hit the lake, get out there. It's warm. It should run. Nope. The damn thing doesn't want to start. So now you're fighting with it again for a few minutes. Finally get it going. Now you're trying to drill your holes. It's then getting halfway through, cutting out. It's just not a pleasant time after that. I'm sorry. At the end of the day, it's just not pleasant. Where when you can just grab this thing, hit the ice, and go start setting up your tent, or set up your tent and everything, then drill your hole and still be in your tent, and instead of trying to set up the tent over your holes that you've now drilled, you can just drill it while you're in your tent, even better. You have no fumes for those ice shacks that you build. We haven't built one yet. Will in the future, hopefully. But, you know, if you're doing one of those shack houses type ice shack, you're not worrying about fumes in your shack now. You literally have the door closed and drill and away you go. So far, 10 out of 5 star review, because I'm just blown away on how well this thing works. Like, it's just, I wish I would have bought one long time ago when they first came out. There's a lot of different models out there of electric ice augers. The reason I went with the Ion model, and again, the 10-inch because of the size, but the reason I went with the Ion instead of the other brands is that between all the auger brands, with this electric one, they provide 3-year warranty on the whole unit. Doesn't matter what it is, they have a 3-year warranty on it. Where the other manufacturers, they'll provide 1 year on the motor or 1 year on the battery, and then 3 year on the flit and the housing itself, or however it might be. It's always 1 year on the battery or 1 year on the motor, and then a 1 to 3 year on the rest of it. Whereas Ion is 3 years through the whole thing. And with the it being slightly on sale, it was like $70 off, so it wasn't much. So slightly on sale, the 3-year warranty, and I had a birthday gift card to Cabela's, so that went towards it. I would do it all over again. And I would suggest to anybody to get a electric auger over a gas one any day. And before I even went to electric auger, I was looking at gas augers. I was looking at used ones. And used ones, they're selling for $350. Canadian. I can go to Cabela's and get a brand new one for $350. Or spend $600, depending on the size of hole I want to drill. So when I looked at those prices of used, and I could spend a couple $100 more and get a brand new electric one with 3-year warranty, and I don't have the hassle of trying to start this gas engine every time I need to use it, no brainer for me. So I spent a little bit more, but as you can see, I'm way happier about it. It should last me a long time, and I'm excited to put it through its paces. And again, I've got that 3-year warranty, so if something goes wrong, well, I'm going to Ion. I'm not going to be brutal on this thing, but again, I do want to test the 640 inches. I got to. They're stating it. Got to test it. So, and then, you know, just, I'm going to use it for what it's made for. Drilling holes. Going ice fishing. So, yeah, that's my birthday gift to myself. / from the family. It was, I did bring it up to him going, hey, look, this is what I would like, and it's a good use for everybody, not just me. And so everyone agreed, and we went and picked one up. Luckily, the one location had it because our closest location had zero, and then the other one had a few left, so that was good. And yeah, I look forward to getting out more, drilling some more holes, catching some fish, and teaching my youngest the ropes. So thanks again for tuning into this episode. If you have any questions or comments, head over to shankoutdoors.ca, leave a voicemail. Then the following episode, I can respond to your voicemail. And yeah, just a great way to communicate with each other. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.